Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today as we talk about what is going on in our world around us, and especially as it affects education, the education of our children. Our program is called Generations because we're wanting to pass on the faith from one generation to the next. Incredibly difficult to do when our children are being indoctrinated in the wrong worldview 98% of the week, and all they get is a 20-minute Sunday school lesson about Noah's Ark on a Sunday morning. Well, friends, we've got to find a better way to sustain the faith and to disciple the nations, beginning with our own local churches and beginning with our own families. Unless we submerge our children and completely surround them in a biblical world and life view on a daily basis, we are going to be passing our children on to the other disciplers that are very happy to disciple them in the wrong worldview through media and our state-enforced educational programs. Okay, today we're going to take a look at what's going on in the schools. But first, Bill, I got three stories that came from Washington State. These three stories passed across my desk almost at the same time, and I began to see something of a connection. I want to see if you will pick up a connection here between these three headlines.
Is this like kind of the old connect the dots?
It's a little bit of a connect the dots
thing. We're going to make a picture out of it.
That's right. And so, you know,
I like this game.
Occasionally you get three different stories that come and they sort of converge on each other. And here are the stories, the three headlines that came across my desk just yesterday. Washington's homosexual governor accused of sexual abuse by four men. That's first headline.
Okay. Second headline.
Rape allegation against Washington State division manager reveals highly sexualized culture at the state agency. Third headline, Washington State releases new health learning standards for K-12 schools, indoctrinating five-year-olds in transgenderism. All right, do you see any connection at all between the governor, the state agency, and the rape allegations
and the education,
the transgenderism, the sexual thing?
Yeah, they're all in Washington.
Okay.
Did I do a good job?
You're doing okay. Yeah? That's right. They're all three Washington. Yes,
okay,
yes,
okay.
Yes. But there's other connections here.
It's taxpayers?
Could it be?
Taxpayers.
There's a lot of tax paying going on here.
I'm getting it, right?
You're getting close.
I'm doing a really good job.
Just like
the parents in Washington
are
getting it, right?
Yeah, I would hope that parents in Washington are getting something here. A highly sexualized governor. We don't run around talking about our heterosexual governors, do we?
I don't think so.
We talk about our homosexual gay governors.
Yeah.
So you have a highly sexualized governor, a highly sexualized state division all wrapped up in rape allegations, and a highly sexualized kindergarten where kids are learning about transgenderism at 5 years of age. Now, do you see any connection here, Bill?
Government.
I'm going to suggest that there is a connection between sexualized public schools, sexualized governors, and sexualized state agencies. Sexualized public schools that violate God's law with high levels of flagrancy. And governors who are heavily sexualized, violating God's laws with the highest levels of flagrancy. And sexualized state agencies dragged into rape scandals, which, by the way, rape is also against God's law. And I guess it must be against state law. I'm not getting why, though. Do you understand why? I'm not getting that. Why in the world is a sexual crime against the law in the state of Washington if the other forms of crimes are not against the law in the state of Washington? See, this is confusing to me. Well, today, entire states are defined by homosexuality, adultery, rape, and educating the kids in the sexual confusion of the day as early as kindergarten. And by the way, trying to understand the problem in these state agencies when it comes to sexual issues is like trying to discern if there's a rape going on in a whorehouse. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
There's confusion here, friends. There is outrageous confusion. The whole system is wrapped up in moral chaos, and it's hardly worth talking about morals when the worst possible abominations are accepted in the state of Washington. All right. And it's affecting the public schools, and it's time to get kids out of the public schools.
We need to burn them down.
Get the kids out of the whorehouses. Yeah. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
Time is limited, especially for fathers who are juggling work, leading their families, and keeping up with the busyness of life. But we know that time with Dad, especially for boys, is essential to raising the leaders we need for the future. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this September and experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges for a weekend retreat near Winter Park, Colorado. With solid teaching, manly fellowship, mountain activities, and plenty of time to talk and just be together. Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it a part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today as we take a look at the brave new schools. No new subject on this program. However, it's important for us to remind the frogs that the slowly boiling water has approached 211 degrees, about a degree a year, but most parents are A-okay with it. You know, if you transported parents from the 1950s into 2017, they would want to burn these schools down.
Yes, they would burn them down. They would tear the bricks out of the walls. They would use the bricks to stone the apostates.
It would be a complete unraveling of the entire system.
Kevin, when I was teaching, I was your worst enemy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I taught back in the 70s and the 80s. I taught in the 80s, okay? And I was a Christian.
Yeah.
But I would destroy your kids throughout the week. Uh-huh. I taught youth in my church on Sunday, but I would destroy them throughout the week. And that was unintentional. I wasn't being devious. I wasn't being subversive. Mm. I was just indoctrinated to teach what I was taught.
You were just part of the system.
I was part of the system.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Christian teachers are the enablers of the system. They allow the system to continue. And we should be the ones who are standing up calling for good education. We should be the ones who are saying the emperor has no clothes on. We should be the ones who are saying these textbooks are evil. We should be the ones who are claiming that there is a better way to educate students, and that is in the fear of the Lord, and we will not do it.
Well,
you know why we will not do it? Because we have prostituted ourselves to the dollar.
My brother was a teacher in a public school for a period of time, and he just confessed to me that he was able to bring the gospel in at points, but he said at the end of the day he could not disciple them in the principles of God's word. And it became a frustrating thing for him. Now he took on a missions work to the Philippines, in which he is now teaching in a Christian school, and will be discipling children because, well, you know, the administration allows for that. The mission agency allows for the discipleship of children in Filipino Christian schools. And so he's able to do that. Now, his hands were bound big time in the public schools, and yet he attempted to do some things there. Anyway, here are the new standards in Washington State for sexuality for the K-12 schools. And friends, as early as kindergarten, the kids are supposed to understand the many ways to express gender. That's the objective for a kindergartner attending Washington State schools. These are new health learning standards released in 2017. That is, they're being released right now, even as we speak, as millions of Christian families, or at least hundreds of thousands of Christian families in the state of Washington, are preparing to send their kids into the public schools to learn transgenderism, homosexuality. Friends, we're giving you the heads up that you're not to stumble your children. Jesus said, if anybody stumbles, one of the least of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for that person that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea. So keep that in mind as you send your kids in to learn about transgenderism in the kindergartens in Washington State. Bill, kindergartners are expected to understand the many ways to express gender years of age.
Yeah, and they don't even know all the colors yet.
They're to learn gender fluidity.
I guess they're learning the colors of the gender fluid rainbow.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So how do they do that? Let's put little Johnny in a dress. Oh, look at little Johnny in the dress. Okay, that's kindergarten in Washington State schools as of the 2017-2018 school year. In the first grade, they're to explain that there are many ways to express gender.
In the second grade, they're expected to understand there's a range of gender roles and expression. I guess that means homosexuality. They're to understand the importance of treating others with respect regarding gender expression. In the third grade, they explain that gender roles can vary considerably. What does that mean? I guess that means, I don't know what that means. I don't even want to think what that means.
No.
Fourth grade, they're to identify. These are kids in Washington State schools. These are nice little Christian kids who attend Sunday school. Their parents send them to the Washington State schools to identify how friends and families can influence ideas regarding gender roles, identity, and expression. That is, in the fourth grade, they are to understand that their parents may take a different worldview perspective concerning genderism and homosexuality, and they are apparently to be a little apologists for the school indoctrination system on the issue of sexual fluidity.
And I'm sure they're encouraged to tell their teacher if their parents have contrary views.
Oh, I'm sure. In the fifth grade, Washington State school students are to describe how media, society, and culture can influence ideas regarding gender roles, identity, and expression. They're to promote ways to show respect for all people, identify trusted adults to ask questions about gender identity and sexual orientation. Notice trusted adults to ask questions about gender identity and sexual orientation, meaning they want to ask preferably homosexuals, not their own parents, concerning gender roles and homosexuality. That's the fifth grade, because, of course, they need to maintain strong contacts with other homosexuals, because that's very important for Greek schools. Keep that in mind for the fifth grade students in Washington State schools. In the eighth grade, they're to list steps required to using a condom. That's the eighth grade. And then the ninth grade, to demonstrate the steps to using a condom. Now, that's just grotesque.
Yeah.
The ninth grade,
they're supposed to demonstrate. 20 years ago, there were Planned Parenthood was going in, passing out bananas and condoms and encouraging this thing sixth graders.
This is every student in the state of Washington, as required by the State Department of Education bill. You can go online and get this document. I got this directly off the document. I studied it in detail yesterday over a period of a couple hours. Friends, this is what's going on in Washington State. I hope there are hundreds and thousands of pastors across the state of Washington giving parents the heads up. Matthew 18, you send your kids in to be indoctrinated in the wrong view of sexuality and genderism. It's like offending a child, and it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. I expect hundreds and thousands of radio programs throughout the state of Washington, and of course, pastors preaching in churches throughout the state of Washington, to give parents the heads up. This is dangerous stuff, friends. Really dangerous stuff. Jesus would be incensed by anybody who would dare to offend one of the least of these ones who believes in me. By the way, the state of Hawaii is doing something similar, too. They've just released new guidelines directing schools on transgenderism. Schools should accept the student's gender identity based on nothing more than his or her claim. Students will be pretending to be the opposite sex at school. There should be a meeting with the school officials. Parents need not be included. Trans-identifying students should be allowed access to opposite sex restrooms, locker rooms, and hotel rooms on overnight school-sponsored trips. This is Hawaii. Schools should not require trans-identifying students to use single-occupancy restrooms or locker rooms. See, you can't even use the single-occupied restrooms here. They've got to be integrated with. Your little girls will be in hotel rooms with other little boys dressed in dresses or dressed up like little girls. Schools may not share the true sex of trans-identifying students with students of the opposite sex whose privacy they are invading. Schools should make special accommodation for normal students who don't want to share restrooms and locker rooms with peers of the opposite sex. Trans-identifying students should be allowed to play on opposite sex athletic teams. Students should be permitted to cross-dress at school. And school staff and faculty should use the preferred pronouns of trans-identifying and gender non-conforming students in the state of Hawaii. And Minnesota has just issued similar guidelines. And friends, Chris Christie also just signed a bill for New Jersey requiring students to allow co-ed restrooms and locker rooms, and requiring teachers to refer to trans-identifying students by opposite sex pronouns. All right. Well, what is this but the promotion of sin? The Word of God speaks directly against this in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. And that means no clothing, no high-heel shoes for boys, no makeup for boys, no sex change operations, no hormone treatments. That's what that verse says. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around that word that comes from Almighty God. God brings us his moral requirements in his word concerning incest, concerning bestiality. You'll find it in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertains to man. Transgenderism, cross-dressing, forbidden by the Word of God. Now, some of you say, well, how in the world does this Old Testament passage apply to us today? Well, unless the Bible specifically reverses a law, the law still applies. And that's the way it works. The sacrificial laws no longer apply. You say, why? Because in Hebrews 10:14, we read, for by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified. And for that reason, no other sacrifice required, since Jesus gave the once for all sacrifice for our sins. The sacrifices have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The incest laws have not been fulfilled in the sense that people can live antinomian lives and commit incestuous acts, fornicating acts, bestiality acts, or any other kind of sexual act forbidden by the Old Testament in the New Testament era. Friends, just get this straight. Unless the New Testament clarifies the law, the Old Testament law stands. And of course, the food laws also have been modified because Peter had the dream, kill and eat, kill and eat, kill and eat, and the unclean meats were legitimized for Christians clearly in the Acts 10 revelation received by the Apostle Peter. So, friends,
you know, I often get this argument, you know, out on the street and even in when I'm teaching, is that, oh, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament laws don't apply. And the answer is, well, does that mean that the Ten Commandments are no longer applicable?
Yeah, what about the incestuous laws?
Yeah, what about those laws? I mean,
what about the laws with...
and we must understand that Jesus fulfilled those laws. So I don't have to worry about the dietary laws, okay, or the ceremonial laws, because they have been fulfilled, the sacrificial laws. But that does not mean that the moral law has been rescinded and is no longer applicable. We have to make certain that we are talking about this very clearly. And that's the problem we face in our culture. People can't understand the good news unless they understand the bad news. The bad news is we have broken God's moral law and we need a Savior. And if you do away with the Old Testament as having any relevance at all, then people cannot understand the gospel.
This may be the first time in American history where public schools, government-funded schools, are explicitly encouraging the violation of God's laws, encouraging children to violate God's laws. They may not have been encouraging promiscuity by dictate of the administration, by policy of the administration in the 1970s and 1980s, but I will tell you that right now, the public schools, the government-funded schools in the state of Washington and across this country are encouraging the violation of Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. Friends, they're encouraging the violation of God's laws relating to homosexuality. They're encouraging the violation of God's laws in other areas as well. Implicitly, they've been telling you not to fear God in the science classroom since the 1960s. So they have been implicitly telling us to violate God's laws and not to fear God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the schools. But now, when it comes to a specific moral sexual issue, the public schools in America are, for the first time, explicitly encouraging children to violate God's laws. And this comes from the administration on down. It is all the way through the public schools in the state of Washington affecting hundreds of thousands of children, including those Christian children sent into these public schools. Friends, it's time to warn parents concerning passages like Matthew 18, where Jesus warns us in no uncertain terms not to stumble the least of these that believe in me. With your children, train your boys not to act like girls. Train them not to dress like girls. Train them not to lie. Train them not to steal food. Children have a propensity to sin. See, again, the schools are saying, well, this child has a propensity to wanting to be a girl. And yes, he was born as a boy, but he has a propensity to want to be a boy, a girl. Well, he's also got a propensity to lie. He probably has a propensity to steal. He's got a propensity to do a lot of things that are against God's laws. So what do parents do with little boys who want to dress like girls? You train them not to. You train them not to.
But here's the problem, Kevin. You see, even the culture will say, well, it's wrong to lie. It's wrong to steal. But we have redefined a sin, homosexuality, as being nothing more than an alternative lifestyle. And once you redefine the sin as nothing more than an alternative lifestyle, then you can endorse it at the highest level of government by the electorate electing a governor who is now accused of having sex with underage boys. You can then justify having a department rife with sexual deviancy paid for by the taxpayer. And then why should we be shocked when policies come down saying that we will teach kindergartners transgenderism? Why should parents be shocked?
Yeah.
Why should they?
The system is encouraging the system to utter deviance and chaos, sexual chaos. So, friends, let me encourage parents everywhere, but especially parents in the state of Washington, don't send your children to a whorehouse for their K-6 education. Hello, is that obvious? Don't send your kids into a whorehouse for their K-6 education. Is that obvious? Let's explain, Bill, why it would be a bad idea to send your children into a whorehouse for their K-6 education. I think there are people out there who need to know why.
You would think that people wouldn't need to know why, but I'm.
But I think we need to back up a few steps for a second, and I think we need to explain why parents should not send their kids into a whorehouse for their K-6 education. Here's why, because your children have not matured spiritually, physically, and emotionally to handle a whorehouse. They're just not ready for it. And again, Jesus said, if you stumble one of the least of these who believe in one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. So these are severe words from Jesus. And your children should not be in an environment in which sin is systematically, regularly endorsed, encouraged, and taught to your children. I hope this is obvious. You're also to bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that does not happen in a bad atmosphere where you are sending them into a whorehouse for their K-6 education. You say, well, but there are Christian teachers in the whorehouse. I think you already addressed that one.
Yeah,
there are Christian teachers in the whorehouse.
So we need missionaries in the mission field, and there's no more foreign mission field than the public schools. So, but a kindergartner is not equipped. And if Christian teachers cannot withstand the pressure that is being brought to bear against them, if they cannot stand up and yell, this is wrong, this is immoral, and not face consequences, why would we expect a kindergartner to? Kevin, this summer, I hear stories like this all the time, but I had a girl come up to me after one of my lectures on faith versus fear. And she said, I want to thank you for the lecture. She said, because when I was in kindergarten, I was in a public school, and my teacher said, bring a book to school that you want to read. Each of the students could bring their own books. She said, I brought my Bible. And she said, my teacher told me, never bring that book to school again. And she said, I have been living in fear since then.
Wow. See, the impression that the system had on a little 5 or 6 year old girl. Friends, that's what we're talking about here. And we're thankful there are Christian teachers out there. But it's not a good environment unless the teachers are opposing the system. I mean, actively teaching against the whole concept of whorehouse-ism.
Yeah.
And I don't find many teachers doing that.
They say, well, I just try to live my life so that people see Jesus in me. I really can't do that. I can't say the name of Jesus no, you can. Yes, you can. Will you face consequences? Yes, you will. But how many times have you been in Walmart, Kevin, where somebody came up to you and say, excuse me, sir, but you shop differently. You shop like a Christian. Can you tell me how to get to heaven?
You know, yeah, not very often.
We need to live our lives consistently, but how did we come to Christ? By somebody speaking to us, either through the written word or through the spoken word.
We need to find that there are people out there tearing down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. I mean, aggressively tearing down systems, speaking against them, opposing the systems that refuse to teach a knowledge that is based in the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom. Okay, my friends, well, I'm going to encourage parents to avoid sending their children into the wrong atmosphere, the wrong environment for their K-6 education. We gave a radical example of this by using the term whorehouse. But friends, when you've got a system that is entirely supportive of not just heterosexual fornication, but homosexual fornication and transgenderism and the things that are classified as abominable sins by the Word of God, some sins of themselves and by several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. And if you've got systems entirely supportive of these abominations, you be very careful.
I'd like to remind
how
parents,
you handle your kids.
Yeah, I'd like to remind parents of the quote by Martin Luther. I'm afraid that the schools will prove the very gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the heart of the youth. What have the school doors become?
I think they've become the gates of hell.
I think they have.
To a great extent. Friends, this is where we are today. In the 21st century, the schools, to a great extent, have become the gates of hell because they refuse to keep the scriptures as preeminent in the learning. And they are given way to transgenderism and the teaching of homosexuality and other abominations. Well, my friends, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, I encourage you to my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, a book I wrote on bringing the biblical principles concerning education to bear in the education of our children. There can't be anything more important than the education of our children. And I'm asking the question in this book, what does the Bible say about this? I'm not asking, what does Plato and Aristotle say about it? I'm not asking, what does John Dewey say about it? I'm asking, what does the Word of God say about it? And sadly, Christians have compromised. They're thinking like the world, the conforming to the world in the educational standards they use in their home schools, their private schools, and their public schools, because they refuse to use the Word of God as the standard to develop the education and discipleship program for their children. I'd encourage you to the book Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, and come to repentance on the issue of how you educate your children. There couldn't be a more important subject today to press to the consciences of professing Christians in our day. Repent, parents, concerning how you're educating your children. Get a copy of my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, to determine what the Bible says about the education of children. Now, of course, you can study it for yourself. The principles are in the Word of God, specifically the book of Proverbs. But you can also take this resource with you called Upgrade, a book we present as a summary of the biblical principles regarding the education of your children. These resources are available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down the vision for the next generation.
Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this summer, Thursday, August 31st through Sunday, September 3rd, and experience the blessing of 4 days of solid teaching and mountain activities at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges near Winter Park, Colorado. Register at coloradofatherson.com. That's coloradofatherson.com. It's Friday, August 11th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. North Korea has announced its plan to launch 4 missiles towards Guam sometime this week. According to the North Korea TV news, the missiles will touch down 30 to 40 kilometers from the island. China has expressed some disagreement over a United States Navy ship that sailed within 12 miles of a man-made island in the South China Sea, according to a Reuters report. Only 8% of American millennials appreciate the Bill of Rights, down from 22% for the baby boomer generation. That's according to a new survey from Barna Research. Only 2% of Christian evangelicals registered appreciation for the Bill of Rights, but 53% said they appreciate freedom of religion. A missionary Baptist church pastor in Los Angeles is standing by his decision to play Jay-Z songs during the worship service, complete with obscene words denoting rape and excrement. The dance performances to the Jay-Z songs have received millions of downloads on YouTube. The Christian Post reports that the senior pastor of Potter's Church in Denver has been approved for returning to his post by his mentor, T.D. Jakes. This comes 3 months after Pastor Chris Hill resigned from the Potter's Church for an alleged affair with a married woman in the church. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" The Mormons have excommunicated a leading bishop, a member of the 70 elders that rule their organization. No reason has been given except that the excommunicant, James Hamula, is not accused of apostasy. More likely, it was a moral failure. All Washington State K-12 schools will be subject to new health learning standards as the schools open for the 2017-2018 school year. According to the new standards, kindergarten children must be able to understand the many ways to express gender, and second graders must understand the range of gender roles and expression. Fourth graders must be able to define sexual orientation. And now, Disney is targeting young children, preschool children, with homosexual content. The August 5th episode of Doc McStuffins featured two lesbians, or two women living together while in a state of unnatural relations. In addition, 4 months ago, Disney introduced the first homosexual act on a Disney cartoon program targeting young teens. Ezekiel 16:20-23 says, "You took your sons and your daughters, whom you had born to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Was your prostitution or whorings so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them? Woe, woe to you, declares the Lord God." Thankfully, in the midst of all of this depressing cultural news, I have a special report immediately following today's newscast, which will warm your heart and encourage you. Christians are seizing the day for Christ in the world of television and film, not only in the genre of drama, but in stand-up comedy, sitcoms, and imagine this, a soap opera. Stay tuned. Finally, one young fan gave Christian baseball player Tim Tebow the magic touch to help him hit another minor league home run, reports the New York Post. While playing in the St. Lucie Mets game against the Charlotte Stone Crabs on July 29th, Tebow was standing in the on-deck circle getting ready for his at-bat when he decided to go over to the stands and greet an eager young fan. The young fan, Seth Bosch, who has high-functioning autism, made his way down to the front row of the stands, reached through the protective netting, and received a handshake from the former Florida quarterback. After shaking hands with Tebow, Bosch turned around to face his mom, who was filming the encounter, and raised his arm triumphantly. His mother, Ileana Bosch, said, quote, "When Seth came back to his seat, he was crying," unquote, according to the Tampa Bay Times. Clearly, they were tears of joy. The mother, who filmed the entire encounter, predicted on camera that Tebow would now hit a home run. And that's exactly what happened. After meeting Seth, Tebow stepped up to the plate and blasted a three-run homer. Check out the touching video link in our transcript at theworldview.com. Ileana said, quote, "I started crying too. How does that happen? I think God brought Seth and Tim together," unquote. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Friday, August 11th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for that special report. I'm Adam McManus.
The average U.S. adult spends more than 11 hours a day in media. Crazy amount of time.
Those are the words of Greg Gudorf, the CEO of PureFlix.com, a Christian streaming video on demand service, in an exclusive interview with The Worldview.
The press has called us a Netflix for Christians, so it tells you we have a little bit different worldview right away.
In an article this spring, the New York Times headline declared, quote, "Forget Netflix and chill. Think PureFlix and pray," unquote. Apparently, according to the Times, 250,000 PureFlix.com subscribers are taking that advice.
What we are aiming to do is make sure that at least some of that time, the time they spend with PureFlix, is feeding positive and uplifting, as opposed to the raw sex and violence and language that the typical shows serve up nowadays.
For 2 years now, PureFlix.com has produced 7 original series to meet the seemingly insatiable appetite with wholesome programming.
What drove us to do it was a desire to bring the absolute best we could in content from sources that we license, movies, TV shows, shorts, you know, everything from dramas to action to kids' animation. And in the process, we saw what we thought were a couple of gaps that PureFlix could uniquely fill.
Unlike Netflix, which has been featuring original programming for 4 years, PureFlix guarantees that there will never be any bad language, sex, or violence.
Our tagline is, you know, no language, sex, or violence surprises. Netflix today with the original, it's almost always a sex, language, or violence surprise. So we go the opposite way in that regard. Our focus is on bringing the good and the uplifting and the powerful to the screen. The first series that we brought out late last year was a series called The Encounter with Bruce Marciano as Jesus. And it's 10 episodes of everyday encounters. One of the characters in The Encounter is Jesus. The people in The Encounter are struggling with something that we all struggle with every day. And lo and behold, here's a word of wisdom that resolves the show. It's proven to be very popular with our viewers. You go to your favorite diner dive for a breakfast. You're sitting there with a friend talking about an issue, and the waiter turns out to be Jesus, and he just hears these little bit of snippets and the like, and as he hands you your cup of coffee that you're getting a refill on, he says something profound, and boom, there's resolution.
Gudorf explained that the, quote, "popularity and success of the Encounter series was the driving force for us to expand our original content lineup. It gave us the confidence to keep on developing new original series and programs," unquote. Another big success was PureFlix Comedy All-Stars.
In December, we produced and then brought to the platform in June of this year an all-star comedy series. We had Sinbad host a night, Jeff Allen hosted a night, Louis Anderson hosted a night, all clean comedy. Each of those three guys had a host of up-and-coming comics that they brought to the stage, and that proved to be very popular as we introduced it through most of Fridays in June.
PureFlix even released a talk show covering Christian issues and trends called Pure Talk.
Most recently, just 10 days ago, we brought a sitcom called Hitting the Brakes, a family sitcom, kind of a little bit like a Bob Newhart and The Inn type show from way back, if you recall.
It's a sitcom about a former race car driver, portrayed by David A.R. White, the PureFlix founder, who relocates his family to Colorado to run a country inn in a town full of colorful characters. It also stars Andrea Logan White, Gianna Simone, and Kevin Downs. Plus, Tim Tebow, Rob Schneider, and Carrot Top all make guest appearances. Each of the 10 episodes concludes with a prayer provided by award-winning actor Burt Reynolds.
Based on the way consumers have reacted so far, we think we're on to something here.
And get this, the first Christian soap opera from PureFlix.com debuts this fall.
We've got a soap opera, or as a friend of mine says, a hope opera.
Hilton Head Island is currently in production and features such stars as Antonio Sabato Jr., Donna Mills, and Wink Martindale in a 22-episode family-focused dramatic series. Plus, another sitcom named Malibu Dan will hit this fall, also starring David White. This 12-episode comedic series tells the story of a co-host of a morning talk show in Malibu, California, who struggles to find a balance between his work and his home life. Greg Gudorf, the CEO of PureFlix.com, concluded by saying, quote, "There's clearly an appetite for original content in the streaming video world, and we decided it was a hunger we needed to feed. Our efforts paid off. Our growing subscriber base gravitates toward original series that are new, fresh, and can only be seen on our platform," unquote. 2 Corinthians 10:5 challenges the believer to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. PureFlix.com is helping the body of Christ to do just that through film. This has been a special report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.